And we learned that God has a purpose for everything, every season of life, every circumstance of life. And Paul was explaining to the believers in Galatia God's purpose for the law, the reason that it served. And tonight we're going to continue gleaning from this passage. And it says Paul continues explaining the purpose of the law and why it was in place. We're also going to see how the law and how our faith in Christ affects the identity of believers and Christians today. And as when we put our faith in Christ, when we trust Christ as our personal Savior, that should change where we place our identity. That should change how we view ourselves as sons or daughters of the Most High. And we're going to continue, and we're going to begin reading in Galatians chapter 3, starting in verse 23. Galatians chapter 3, starting in verse 23, the Bible says, "But before faith came, we were under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." Our identity should be completely rooted in the person of Jesus Christ. And when I talk about identity this evening, I'm not talking about an ID that you have for work or even government issued or a driver's license that you carry around. But we're talking about where we find our value in this life. What truly matters to us? What are we placing our worth, our identity in? Have you ever been in a situation where you felt you had to prove yourself? Would you ever join a new company or a new team and it felt like every word that you said mattered? Every action that you did, it all mattered, and you didn't want to make one misstep. You didn't want to make one mistake because you wanted to be accepted. You wanted to prove that you belonged as part of the team. I know this happened to me. My first job right out of college, I began working for Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California. And I remember my first day there, I was like an automated robot. I remember I met with my supervisor the first thing in the morning, and he gave me a little task list of things he wanted me to do, things he wanted me to get acquainted with. And I'm running around the building like a cyborg. My eyes are set straight. I'm just running from room to room, going from place to place. And I had a lot of friends that were on campus that day, and they were trying to talk to me, trying to get my attention, but nothing mattered that morning other than getting my job done how it had to be done, because I wanted to prove that I belonged. I wanted to prove that I was ready for this situation, for these circumstances. And maybe you've been in a similar situation. You've joined a new company, you've just started a new job, and you're trying to find validation, acceptance from those around us. But why do we do that? Because there's so many places and situations in life in which acceptance is earned, right? You have to prove your worth before you are accepted by those around you. Some of us have even experienced this with family and friends. But this evening, if you have accepted Christ as your personal Savior, if you are walking with the Lord, I can tell you, you are accepted. You are accepted in the Beloved. There is nothing left to prove. God accepts you, and you are enough. But let me ask this evening, is your identity truly rooted in Christ? Or are you still trying to be good enough? Still trying to measure up, still trying to work your way to God's favor? Are we living each day from the security of being in Christ? Or are we still trying to prove ourselves to God and to those around us? Because as we look at this passage, we see three defining truths about our identity in Christ. The first thing we see is a revealed identity. a revealed identity. According to verse 23, the Bible says, but before faith came. Paul here is setting the specific time frame that he's talking about before the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and before Christ ever came, before faith was realized. And he's not saying that faith did not exist before this, because he says, listen, earlier in the chapter, he's saying Abraham had faith. So we know faith existed, but he's saying before the object of our faith, Jesus Christ, came to this world, before faith, before the full revelation of Christ, this faith was a mystery. In Colossians chapter 1, Paul tells us about this mystery in verse 26. He says, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to believers, to whom God would have make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. What's the mystery? Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The glorious promise of Christ coming to this earth, dying, being buried, and resurrecting the third day, in which only faith in him can take us to heaven. He's talking about before that time, back when it was still a mystery, before Christ had come. This is the time frame that Paul is talking about. And verse 23 continues, we were kept under the law. Before Jesus came, we were kept under the law. They were held under it. There was no identity in the law. You simply did your very best to follow the law, the commandments that were given to Moses, the commandments that were handed down in Leviticus and Deuteronomy. But there was no identity found. There was no purpose found. There was no greater hope. There was no freedom found in the law. Performance was the driving factor. You were only as good as you were the day before. How well did you follow the laws? How well did you do all of the things that God had asked you and commanded you to do? The verse continues, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. The law completely confined people. There was no identity in it. They were seeking identity, seeking meaning. They could not save themselves. They could never be enough. But this was not the finality of God's plan. This is not where God left the situation. But he sent his son, Jesus Christ, because he desires a personal relationship with all of us. And Jesus was the revelation of that promise. But notice in verse 24, Paul shows us the purpose that the law served. Verse 24 says, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster. And if you've read that verse before and you're like me, I assume schoolmaster just meant teacher when I first read it. I thought of it as just a teacher like you would see at school. You know, they're meant to lead you, guide you, teach you. But the idea of what a schoolmaster was when the KJV was translated back in 1611 was someone that was also an authoritarian in their life, someone that was a disciplinary. They would watch them, correct them, restrain them, and lead them where they needed to go. This was much more than a teacher. This was almost like a guardian over their lives. And the law could never produce righteousness, but rather the law was supposed to correct and direct behavior. And Paul tells us in 1 Timothy 1:9, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers. That's some direct language there, isn't it? Murderers of fathers, murderers of mothers, saying this is why the law was given, not so that man could look at it and measure themselves up and say, hey, I think I'm doing enough. But it was for those that had utterly fallen short to show them their need for a Savior. That was the purpose of the law, to show us our sin, to expose our failures, to remove any self-confidence that we would run to Jesus Christ. Not that he would be a part of our life. Not that he would just be a person that we reference periodically, but that we would run to him and realize our need for him. This is why our identity must rest fully in Christ. Because the law has already showed us there is no identity outside of Jesus Christ. The world offers plenty of identities. The world offers taking your identity in money or wealth and all of these things you can earn in this world. But none of those identities, none of those things will last. My question this evening is, when we fall short, do we try to fix things ourselves? Or do we run to Christ like the law was meant to direct us to do? When we fall short, when we feel like we have failed God, do we stop reading our Bibles? Do we skip our prayer time? Or do we run to the feet of Jesus like he desires for us to do? As I was thinking through this question in my own heart, my own life, I was reminded of a time when I was just 7 or 8 years old. And my neighbor had just finished a brand new deck that he had built. I remember he spent months on that thing, and he was so proud of that deck. And we, as kids, probably me and 3 or 4 of my friends, we're all playing on this deck, and we're jumping on it, right? And I'm jumping, 7, 8 years old, just jumping on this deck. We're all jumping around. I think we're listening to music or something. And all of a sudden, one time, I jump, and my foot goes right through one of the wooden boards. I get my foot out, my ankle, my foot wasn't hurt, but all of a sudden I'm like, I just broke his deck that he just finished. He spent all this time and I just broke it. What have I done? And so I immediately run home and I tell my mom, Mom, I broke the deck. I didn't mean to break the deck, Mom, but I broke it. And she says, you have to go tell him. You have to go tell him that you're the one that broke the deck. And so I go back over his house and I'm preparing to get yelled at, to get chewed out. And he looks at me and he's like, hey, no, that's okay. That just means I should have reinforced it better. And he goes over to the deck and he shows me how to replace the wooden piece that was there. And I got to learn something, how to fix it, because he took the time. I wasn't able to fix it, but he was. And there's things in our lives we will never be able to fix. We'll make a mess out of a situation in our life. We'll fall short from who we're supposed to be in Christ. But we don't run from God. We don't run back to Mom and hide away and try to act like God never saw it. But no, instead, we should go to God. We should go to him. Why? Because he can make it right. He can fix it when nobody else can. Because in Christ, we are not judged by our failure. We are not judged by the way in which we fall short of ourselves or the expectation of others, because we are in Christ Jesus. The law showed us who we were without Christ, but now Paul shifts and shows us who we are because of Christ. Notice our second point this evening, a rooted identity, a rooted identity. In verse 25, the Bible says, but after that faith is come, the contrast that he's bringing here is from verse 24, and he's telling them about life before Christ. There was no identity, it was just the law. They were trapped under the law. There was nowhere they could go, nothing they could do to meet God's perfect standard. But now he's about to show the change that happened when Jesus Christ came to this earth. And he says, it has been revealed. The faith has come. It is here now. And we are no longer under a schoolmaster. This is the identity shift in the passage. There are no under a schoolmaster that is harsh, holding the noun, but rather they have the Holy Spirit now dwelling within them, guiding and directing them in the truth of the Lord. This was not try harder. This was not you need to be better. But this was a complete change of position. Because when Jesus Christ came, we were no longer restricted and held down by the old schoolmaster. And notice, this is not just some general faith. There's plenty of people that say, well, yeah, I believe in God. Or, yeah, I think faith is a good thing. But this isn't just a general faith. This is specific faith in the person of Jesus Christ. The object of our faith being the perfect and sinless God and man. There was a time when we were being led to Christ by the law. But now Christ has come, and faith has a name, and his name is Jesus Christ. And it is in his name that our identity is rooted. Our identity is not quote unquote, how good of a Christian we were yesterday. My identity is not in if I share the gospel with someone and they reject it. They're not rejecting me. They're rejecting the Father. If we're serving God, we cannot be caught up with the conclusion of the matter, what happens. We have to know that God is faithful and our identity is in Him, and He accepts us wholly and willingly. Verse 26 continues, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." He says, you're no longer under the old schoolmaster, but now you are children of God in Jesus Christ. The verse there begins with the word "for," and it shows us that Paul is going to be giving us the why here in verse 26. Why are we no longer under the old schoolmaster? Because we are presently children of God. And I remember this was a hard concept for me to grasp when I was first saved. I remember I was in my church and my church home back in Ohio, and I was listening to the preacher preach about being a child of God and being forgiven, and your slate is totally wiped clean before the Lord. And I couldn't help but sit in the pew and think, is that really true for me? The things that I've done, the things I'm still struggling with, is that true for me? But that promise is not only extended to super Christians. That promise is not only extended to spiritual mentors in our lives that we all look up to, but it is extended to every Christian that has put their faith in Jesus Christ. All Christians are a child of God, not accepted by performance or pedigree, but solely through faith in Him. And Paul talks about this paradigm shift in the next chapter in Galatians 4 and verse 7. He says, "Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." I want to be clear this evening, we serve a living God. And He is worthy of our service. He is worthy of all our honor, glory, and praise. But He desires to have a personal relationship with each of us. He doesn't desire for us to clock in, do our service, serve in ministry, and clock out and to pick the relationship back up the next Sunday. That's not what He desires. He desires for us to daily walk with Him, to personally know Him, to have a living relationship with Him. Amen. This is the living reality of every single Christian. But how much differently in history, as we look back at textbooks, we look back at historical writings, according to history, how much differently is a son treated than a servant? Did people treat servants differently than they treated their sons? Absolutely. And Paul is telling them, you're no longer just servants to the Most High. You're no longer just a servant, but you are a son. You are in the family of God. And as we continue growing in our relationship with Him daily, our identity is placed in, we are a child of God, and my friend, that status cannot be revoked. It is sealed, and it is waiting for the day of redemption. His love, the Father's love for us, is ultimately secure in His character, not our conduct. And that means even in our biggest failures, we should not run from God. We should not hide from God, but we should run to our Heavenly Father. And while verse 26 tells us who we are and about our identity in Christ and what it means to be rooted in Christ, to be accepted in Him, the next verse shows us what that looks like. According to verse 27, the Bible says, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ..." It's important to realize that this reference to baptism is not talking about the water baptism that happens right back here behind us on a Sunday morning. But this is talking about the baptism of the Spirit that Paul tells us about in 1 Corinthians 12:13. Paul says this, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." This is where the unity of believers comes into play. We've all been baptized in one Spirit. We're all striving together in one faith for one God as we seek to please Him and to honor and glorify Him. This baptism is speaking of spiritual position, not ceremony or ordinance. And the verse continues and shows us if someone has been baptized with the Spirit, if their life has been changed from the inside out, this is what we're going to see as the verse continues. They have put on Christ. This is some imagery here in the verse that someone that has been saved by Christ and their identity is rooted in Him and they are accepted in the Beloved because of their faith in Him, Christ now covers you. That you have put on Christ, He covers you. Right? So when we think of clothing, it covers us. And we know that the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, that it is what makes us righteous before our Heavenly Father. It defines us. When we say that we are a Christian, when we say that we believe in Jesus Christ, that should change something about our conduct, shouldn't it? If we were just out this evening at dinner and we were speaking ill of others, they say we were gossiping, even using foul language, and a server heard that or a restaurant worker heard that, would they believe that you are a Christian? No, Christ is covering us, if we are putting on Christ, we need to make sure that we're bringing an accurate depiction of who He is to our very best ability. Because Christ is now what God sees spiritually. When God looks at us, someone that's accepted Christ, He sees us white as snow because of the sacrifice of Christ. But what people should see physically on this earth is us representing our Savior that we claim to follow, treating others as He would. So are our actions rooted in our identity in Christ this evening? Do we see others as Christ sees them? Do we respond to others as Christ would? When that person cuts you off in traffic? It just happened to me this evening. Who and what are we living for? Are we living to be a representation of who Christ is? Or are we just looking to make it day by day, not giving much thought to what our Savior would do? All of these questions begin to give us a clear understanding of what we are living for and who we are rooted in. And if Christ now defines what we are presenting this world, who we are, and the work that God is doing in us, it should also change how we see one another in the church. Because lastly, this evening, we see there is a rewritten identity. A rewritten identity. We see that we have a rooted identity, but God has also given a rewritten identity. In verse 28, the Bible says, "There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is no ethnic or religious divide. There is one race, the human race, in which God loves all and has created all." He says, there is neither bond nor free. There is no social or economic divide when it comes to the kingdom of God. God is no respecter of persons, and our background, financial, or the family we come from, does not matter to Him. I mean, think about it. Through all the scriptures, God uses shepherds and fishermen to spread His word, to tell others about the work that He is doing. God can use anyone. And it says, there is neither male nor female. There is no preference or priority of gender with God. God has absolutely created man and woman differently, different roles, different purposes, but God, that does not make any person more or less valuable. God cares and loves each of His children and who He has created them to be. And while the world gives many false identities, some people place their identity in their work, and they place all of their thought and time into their work or earning money and garnishing wealth or anything else you can name in this world. But Paul says none of that matters, only this matters. Notice what he says next. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. But the last sentence here of this verse, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. None of those other divisions that the world worries about, none of those matter. You are all one in Christ Jesus. Race, ethnicity does not matter to God. Social or economic status does not matter to God. And God loves us for who we are created to be. And we can all sit here this evening and say, amen. We know that God loves us. But if we ever look down on someone else for not being in the position that we think we're at, has there ever been a moment where you saw someone and you thought, man, I can't believe they're doing X, Y, Z. I can't believe they're doing this or that. And we must realize as Christians that none of us are a finished work, right? We need to give grace in moments. May we never think that we have arrived or we are so far along that we forget the grace in which we desperately need. But God has made us all equal to walk in unity, and he has made us new, according to 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We are one in Jesus Christ because our identity has been rewritten. We are not who we used to be, and that is true for every Christian that has placed their faith in Jesus Christ. The question is, do we see and treat others through the lens of Christ? Are we seeing our fellow Christians, our fellow church members, our church family? Are we looking around and do we see others as Christ sees them? Are we looking to encourage those around us? Are we looking to be a help to those around us? We need to be. We must be. And Paul gives one final conclusion in the final verse of this chapter. In verse 29, he says, "And if ye be Christ's." This is not Paul questioning the faith of the believers in Galatia. Rather, this is an if-then statement. If you are in Christ, if you belong to him, then everything that follows is now true of you. And he says, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And that may seem like a simple sentence to us, but let's not dismiss how much that meant to those believers in Galatia. Think about it. Paul has written this entire epistle warning them against the Judaizers, these Jewish teachers that were saying, do this, say that, keep this portion of the law, make sure you do it just this way or you're doing it wrong. And Paul is finally telling them, none of that matters. If you are in Jesus Christ, you are accepted. Imagine the weight that that carried in the believers in Galatia during this time. He says, you are spiritually included. You belong to the family that God has promised to bless. This is your identity that can only be found in Jesus Christ. Does not matter your background or what you've been told or how you may feel. The truth is, if you are in Christ, your identity is secure in him. You are accepted by the Father. And the same is true for us as we continue to follow after God. The same is true for every believer that is walking with him. And as God gives us grace, we should be sure to give others grace as we continue to walk with God in unison. Because many times in the world, they don't give grace. Someone makes a mistake, it's one strike and you're out. There is no grace given. And in the world, acceptance is based on performance, but not with our Heavenly Father. But if we are not careful, we can easily cast that same thought onto our Heavenly Father. We can almost start believing, oh, I messed up doing this yesterday, or hey, I messed up this. I know I shouldn't have said this or done this. And all of a sudden, we can forget our placement in Jesus Christ. We can forget the Father's unconditional love for us. But let me ask you this evening, is your identity truly rooted in Christ? Not in a job, not in the money you earn, not even in family or the approval of friends. Is your identity, who you are, who you see yourself to be, is that in connection? Is that in line with who Jesus sees you to be? Because as we saw this evening, our identity was revealed by the law. That we had fallen short and there's nothing that we could do to ever be righteous on our own. But today, our identity is rooted in Christ. As we continue to endeavor to reflect Jesus to those around us, we do it in the power and grace of God and Jesus Christ, our Savior. And because we have a rewritten identity, we are a new creature in Christ, we have been made new, we continue to follow after Him and serve Him that loves us fully. And it is for these reasons that our identity is not built on trying to be good enough. It is rooted in the person of Jesus Christ. So as we leave tonight and go through our week, how we live, how we act, the things that we say will reveal to others what and who we are truly rooted in. If you're rooted in your job, things will go wrong at work and you will have a bad day. If your identity is rooted in finances, money comes and money goes, and you will have a bad day. But every day is a great day, and every day is a joyous day in the Lord. If we'll keep our identity there as we follow Him. So who will we be rooted in? And may we remember that our identity rests in the One that loved us and gave His life for us. He will not forsake us. He will be with us this week. Let's go ahead and close this time of preaching in a word of prayer as we reflect who is our identity in the love of the Father for us. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day, Lord. Lord, we thank You when we had no way, Lord, that You made a way. And Lord, we thank You that even when we fall short and when we fail, Father, Lord, You love us unconditionally. Lord, You desire for us to live a holy life, but Lord, You are so gracious and You are so forgiving, Father. Lord, thank You. And Lord, we thank You that You have given us a new identity. Lord, we are a new creature, and we can face this week in Your power, in Your grace, in Your strength, reflecting Christ to a dying and lost world. Lord, remind us of who our identity is in this week as we go. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.